All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
We'll stop here.
Say that, you know, we're going to collect ourselves.
Okay.
And then we're... Okay. Adam's looking at me like, what?
Where's this? Where's she going with this?
Doing? Isn't that how everyone looks at you all the time?
Just confused about Maybe. Your the choices you're making.
I don't know. But let's do the next episode with Steve a little bit deeper.
Okay.
You know, we learned okay. about who you are and who's involved in your life. What kind of things come to mind when you think about, like, what trips you up?
God.
Or if anything.
I focus a lot on the positive. I think I have a tendency to go through, I can be really, really, really happy 99.9% of the time. But when I'm not happy, oh man, it's like I can swing that power in the entirely opposite direction. You know, and just be like the worst human being around. And I've been the worst human being around. Like, a lot of me wanting to do good, I think, is just me, like, being like, man, you fucking put a lot of bad shit out there for a while. Like, sure. Why don't you try putting some good stuff out there? Like, that's kind of what, you know, that's one thing I'm always kind of struggling with. And then, you know, I really try to focus on more positive things. Like, what's going through my head most of the time is what I'm trying to, like, obviously, I went through a phase where I was like, oh, negative thought, negative thought, negative thought. Like, I would just replay this stuff, and I'm like, all right, you're... inner critic needs to become an inner coach. That's why I always just tell myself, like, he's a coach now.
That's awesome.
Like, he's trying to coach you up. Now he's like, so now my brain focuses on how can I get my company better so that my wife doesn't have to work in 3 years and we can get paid to travel with the kids. And it'll be like, Steve and Craig, visit the pyramids and figure out what's going on over here and talk to some scientists who say, you know, one guy's like, giants built them. You know, another guy's like, oh, no, they just built it regularly with rams. And another guy's like, aliens, you know, and you're like, okay, cool. And our family gets to go. We work for 2 days and stay there for 2 weeks. And they get a little bit of you know, world
exposure.
Experience. Yeah. Yes. So, you know, but now, you know, some of the not so deep things, like with the podcast, it's figuring out different ways around the cannabis thing, all that. Everybody's trying to stop you with that advertising. What got me into it was veterans, like, and realizing that it is a medicine, like veterans. And we had a sick family member who I read an article online that it almost cured a girl's type of cancer in the UK. And I kind of thought the study always stuck with me because the doctors had to write down, we administered 6 cc's of White Widow oil. And I was like, oh, they got to write the strain down? Like, these doctors have to get, like, serious with the strains. And, you know, the strains of weed are so dumb, you know. So I was like, oh. But they took it seriously, and it helped this girl immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they gave it to their kid, and it didn't work. I mean, it was working. He was on less opioids. Like, all these things were just looking up. And then, like, you know, complications happened and he didn't make it, and like that, a big chunk of my heart went out to this stranger I didn't even know was a friend of the family, and then their family, and realizing I got kids, and oh my god, I would want strangers to help me. But that's something I struggle with too.
Yeah,
I'm the helper,
right?
Don't help me.
Sure.
I don't need the help. Like, I'm all right, you know, like, don't worry about me. And then I think that's sometimes why I get so bogged down on my own stuff sometimes, because I'm like, oh god, you know, I can't carry all the weight all the time.
Right.
You know, you need help.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me sometimes to ask for help.
You know? Right.
For sure.
Help
well,
me.
Jess and I went to a class last week called Quantum Leap. And it was taught by David Brosso. And one of the things that we had talked about was capacity. As my child is not sleeping. And
he's just shirtless, staring at me in the window.
Shirtless, staring out the window.
Intimidating me.
No way.
It's a power move right there.
Right. So one of the things that we talked about at Quantum Leap was the idea of the pendulum of life, right? So you had said, like, hey, most of the time I'm super, super, super positive, and 99.9% of the time,
maybe like 96.
Right.
I went a little crazy.
I was like, damn, I would love that ratio.
Right,
I'm like 52-48. But I think
I've gone through phases.
What the thing that I love about just the notion of respecting both swings is that if you grow yourself and you grow your capacity for life and your capacity for love and your capacity for helping others, you too also grow the adverse of that. The pendulum can swing the other way, and now you have a bigger capacity for pain and disappointment and sorrow. And so the balance of that, I think, is super powerful, and understanding that that does happen, it will happen, and figuring out a way to combat that, whether it's tools or medications or whatever it is, a community, I think is really, really cool. And it's something, I mean, you and I have talked about that when I brought you a broken lawnmower that probably is still not fixed.
Cut my grass today. Yeah, I had a whole fiasco at the grasshopper store. At the lawnmower store. The grasshopper store? I went to the lawnmower place, and they were like, is it your first time? And I'm like, yeah, I feel
your buddy brought this to you, didn't he? Said it worked.
I'm like, I just need a fuel line, and they like, it was a whole deal.
So I think understanding that pendulum is pretty cool.
Balance, man.
For sure. And it's whether you call it balance or you call it harmony, it's still, you still have an equal capacity on both sides of whatever your mean is, whatever your center is.
Yeah. I sometimes think about that in my own relationship with Jen, because like we can hate each other real good, like, but we're also really awesome at loving each other. So I sometimes think like the pendulum swings with relationships too. Like if I don't really know you that well, I don't really hate you that much. Like maybe some celebrities are like, I hate that person, but ordinary people, once you get to know them, it's like your capacity to love them, if they effed you over, could also be your capacity to hate them, maybe on the same type of spectrum.
Right.
And so I think people need to remember that like sometimes if you think you hate somebody or you really don't get along, like, brother, maybe that balance shifts. You know, I've had friends who I didn't really get along with, and then finally understood where they were coming from, and I'm like, oh, that's why you act like that?
Right.
Oh my God, I can deal with you now. Like, you're kind of charming in all your effed up ways.
Sure.
And so you learn more about people, and just harmony is a great word for it. I love that, man.
Yeah.
Let me get a tattoo, a Chinese character harmony.
it's actually going to mean, it's not going to actually mean that.
No, of course not.
The other thing you had mentioned, that the thing that got you into cannabis was veterans. So you've done a lot for Project 422, which brings awareness basically just to the understanding that 22 veterans commit suicide daily.
I just like to say I do very little, like, for the nuts and bolts. Like, there was a girl, Andrea, and Blake, and, like, Alicia, and Tom Mundell. Like, these people did the heavy
pour into it.
Lifting. I was a guy who was like, hey, I have a radio show, and I'll mention you guys all the time, and I'll come to the meetings. I mean, I was lucky enough to go to Colorado 3 years ago and with 22 veterans and see what it was all about, and that changed my life forever, mine and Jen's. Like, we understood. We went to dispensaries, and we're like, oh, my God, what's the highest THC? And then, you know, the guys would come in behind us, guys and girls, and they'd say, hey, I haven't slept well in 15 years. Is there anything that might, no prescription pills will help me? And if they do, they knock me out and make me a zombie, and it's a whole nother litany of problems.
Right.
What do you got? And I remember one guy went there, he was like behind me in line, and I was like, oh, buddy, you know, I didn't even know. And then he, next morning, we're talking to him, and he says, got 5 hours of sleep last night. First time in a long time. And you could see like life back in his eyes, and I was like, after one night of like a CBD THC 1-to-1 mixture, I was like, that's amazing. Like, and I've always questioned, is it medicine? Do I just love it? Is it medicine or do I just love it? Like, am I really real with this whole THC, you know, CBD thing, and even just cannabis as a plant, or do I just love it? And after seeing stuff like that, you know, like,
it's hard not to be real.
Yeah. And these veterans, I mean, they're everyday people like us. Like, there's a-holes and there's really great people and they all combine, but they were the ones who raised their hand and said, I'll defend. Like one guy, this guy, Chris Wolfenberger, who he has the Foundation for Exceptional Warriors. He's like my favorite guy ever, man. He was a medic. He's everybody's favorite guy. Medic.
Right.
Like, my guy.
Right.
Medic's my guy.
Right.
And you learn all these cool things, this brotherhood and sisterhood of all these, like, all these little inside jokes they all have, and they all know this stuff. And like, oh, I don't like this Marine and all this stuff. Like, the Marines would do all this. And so it's really cool becoming a part of, like, their culture.
Right. They let you inside their world for a minute.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. And it's just, I mean, I can't say enough good things about the people who are involved with it and, like, everything. And I like I said, I do very little.
Well, I think we understand that, but give yourself some credit, because when we talked earlier before, when we were sitting out here, we talked about platform and what having a platform does. No matter how big or how small your platform is, if you have one and you use it, even just to give a shout out to your 1,700 member community, if one person is impacted or donates or is, you know, I think of guys like Roman, and like if there's just one person that is impacted by that, how could it not be worth it to even just whatever your platform is to use it? So I think you and Craig do a phenomenal job, and I think you deserve, you know, the kudos that you get.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
What things are hard for you to say no to?
Weed. I will seriously. I'll smoke all day, and like I've always, like I said, I'm like, do you love it? Is it medicine? But I've always, like, that's kind of me. I've always just kind of loved it since like 17, 18. I got late into the game, you know. It's always just kind of been great to me. What other things can I not say no to? A piggyback ride from Ivan. I will do
he
that.
Gave you one, or you give him?
Yeah, he's back's shot. But you know, you ask a 3-year-old to carry a 160-pound man, 185-pound man. That's one thing. Like, I really realize my kids are growing up fast, so I won't say no a lot to a lot of like the stuff that I can do while they're still little to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm learning how to say no to help everybody kind of deal. You know, like, I can't spread myself too thin to really, I can't fill anybody else's cup if my cup is too empty, you know, type of deal.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm learning right now about, you know, because I, you know, when you do have a little bit bigger community, you're like, oh, God, I got a little bit over my head here.
Right.
It used to be me, Adam, you know,
right,
a few other
in
buddies.
A pickup truck.
Yeah,
right.
Like, okay, cool. Now we got all these other people. So, and everyone, you start to, not everybody's in it for exactly the right reasons, you know.
Right.
Some people are like, I need a handout. And you're like, no, you don't. You know, like, make some better decisions. Like, I'll definitely help you get there on that front.
Right.
Like, let's dive deep into what really needs to happen.
Right.
So is it for you, is it quality over quantity when it comes to saying yes, or is it an availability thing? Is it first come, first serve, or do you have to audit, you know, the opportunities that you have?
I have the power, so I like to pick and choose. No, it's timing. I think so much is timing. I like to try to go off my gut and like my feeling as much as I can. Like, what, and I know that I've had to learn that my feeling, it might be saying, yeah, you know, like, this feels good and right, and then it doesn't work out. It's not necessarily like, oh, don't trust your instincts. It's like, no, your instincts might have drawn you this way to lead you to something after this. Like, this failure just led you to this. And
sure.
It's like, oh, because, like, with that job thing, I had a great job offer, and I was like, this is awesome. And then it got taken away like that, and I was like, oh, but then all this other great stuff happened for it.
Yeah.
But because of it. So I was like, oh, okay, you know. My gut told me to do that, but my gut was like, oh, hold on, buddy. I work in mysterious ways. Gut, God, whatever. You know, whatever people want to call it.
Sure.
So, what have you had to turn down? I mean, the Mosby thing happened out of your control. But in order for you to get to where you're at with what you and Craig are doing and the other opportunities that you have with the cannabis movement, in certainly in the state of Missouri, what are the types of things that you've turned down in order to, I mean, you know, the sacrifices that you've had to make, whether it's a monetary sacrifice that you've had to make you know, a society would say, oh, what are you doing? You know, you're on, you know what I mean? I'm sure you get that. I mean, we've
never talked about that.
Though,
really, man. Like, that's one thing Jenny always marvels at me. She's like, I would wonder what people thought about me. And I'm like, oh.
Like, oh, man. Maybe I should think about
that. Why didn't I ever think about that? Like, I've just learned to go the entirely
my anxiety through
way.
The roof.
Yeah, just to go the entirely the opposite way. Like, I got, for one TMA event, I wore a GIMP mask. It was like a test and had someone lead me around on a leash while I, like, tried to attack everyone as, like, a GIMP. And half of the people who didn't kind of know Cucky shtick yet, and then half of the people who didn't realize it was me under the mask. So it was all the people were like, oh my God, what is happening?
What's happening?
And I told the guy, I was like, scream, bring out the GIMP when you come out there. What was the question?
What have you had to turn down?
I was
Sounds
a carpenter.
Like nothing.
I was a carpenter. So the Mosby thing didn't work out, but I could have stayed there. And or I could have went right back in getting with somebody, some other company. And that's where Jenny was like, you know, hey, man, try this thing and see if you can kind of do it. And then I great shout out to Lifetime Roofing. Like, they helped me out. Craig helped me out. And they took me on and said, hey, we'll find something for you. Like, you seem like a good guy. Like, and they did. You know, like, it was great. I was doing gutters again and, like, all this stuff that I didn't want to do.
Right.
But, you know, you had to do it for a little while. You know, I've had some crap construction jobs from, like, mason tender.
You've had, like, literal crap jobs.
Yeah.
I do remember a toilet
story. Oh, God. I forgot all about that.
We can't even go from there. How do we, like,
yeah, I mean, you would even, you would not even believe the next question.
Okay.
After the poop story.
I wouldn't. What keeps you up at night?
No. Have there been any defining moments that have made you who you are? And encourage you to do what you do. That seems like a pretty defining moment, but were there others?
Ooh, a defining moment. God, nothing really pops in my head as one defining moment. Like, I always try to remind myself that it's one foot in front of the other. I'll tell you, within the last few years, a really defining moment I had that popped in my head right now is we have this thing called the Cotillion.
Yep.
And it's a camp trip, and it really solidified the core members of our group, like 25 of us deep on the river having a really good time. It wasn't the bull float trip. Like, we weren't trying to get drunk. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to play some music, see how deep into the stars we could go, have some conversations, like,
yeah,
really get to know people and find out what it is. What is this all about? And I had the guitar out one night, and I learned to play the guitar so I could play at the campfire. Like, a defining moment was seeing my dad's friend who died young play guitar at a 4th of July thing. And I was like, I will do that one day.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone surrounded him. He was the most jovial guy ever. And I was like, that's me. One day I'll do that. And so that's why I taught myself the guitar. Always. And it took me 20 years to really do it.
Right.
But now I'm finally doing it. And last year at the Cotillion, everyone was like, I knew I had them on a string. You know, it was the first time that everyone was on a conscious level with each other. And if I played real low, everyone was real quiet. If I made a joke, everyone's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. You know, everything was just clicking. And I was like, oh, buddy, you could do this. Like, you just mesmerized these freaking potheads. No, but, you know, you captivated a crowd for a good long while. And everyone came up and they were like, what the fuck was that?
Right.
And I thought to myself, I was like, oh, I could replicate that. Like, that wasn't that crazy hard. They just kind of let me do my thing. And
yeah,
people listened. And now I'm getting good enough at my craft that they're like, oh, you know, you're actually decent at making people laugh. And, you know, it makes me feel good and all this. I'm like, oh, well, you know. So that was that really made me feel amazing going into all the rest of the stuff we've been doing the last year.
Okay. What type of things do you struggle with? We said what trips you up, but, like, what's from a, and I know from
anger, I guess, sometimes. Like, I really want to unconditionally love everything, but I get angry. But then I also arguing with myself, I guess, is a huge thing. But I also learned that not everything has to be one way. Like, I don't have to be like, oh, I'm really pissed at my kids, and they made me so mad. It's like, well, guess what? That emotion passes. And I struggle with staying in the moment.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing that I need to start doing. Like, I either think about the past and stupid stuff, or I think about the future with all my stuff that's fun and great. But sometimes I'll stay too far there and miss out on all everything that's got I got going on right now. So I struggle with really submerging myself in the moment. Like, I can be in the moment pretty good and remember stuff, but like to really be present and like there, that's like a magic that you can't find. And staying consistent, like I'm consistent in other areas, but other areas I'll like, you know, like the, we talked about the scheduling thing, I'll be like, this is going to change my life, and then 3 or 4 days later I'm like, I'm never doing that again. That was so dumb. So being consistent and just learning about myself, and I, you know, at 35, it's like I finally feel like that struggle is going down a little bit, to where I'm like, okay, you know, I'm learning myself, but it's always peaks and valleys, you know.
Sure.
Once I got think I got it figured out, guess what? You don't have it figured out anymore. Something happened to where you don't really get it. So, well, and that's what life is.
Well, don't you think that, like, or I guess I should say, like, what I think is the older you get, the less tolerant you get about certain things, and the other things just don't matter. So it's like that might used to make me mad or trip me up
whatever.
It's like, I don't really care about that. So if it happens, it happens.
Right. Especially like really small stuff that used to piss you off or whatever. Now you have context and historical experiences.
Perspectives of motherfucker.
Yeah. I've heard so many people talk about perspective, and just understanding, like, that's ever, like, your perspective is everything. It drives your mindset. And I mean, this just drilled into us.
Yeah.
Your mindset drives everything.
Right.
So, like, what is the one thing that is driving your mindset? What is leading the way when it comes to mindset? And it's your perspective and how you perceive anything, whether it's the trash man coming and you forgot to put the cans down, or a life-changing event that you will remember forever. Like, what, just having perspective on life is the leader of everything. And so, I think if you can just figure out how to unlock at least some consistency in your perspective of overall life, the more beneficial your life's going to be as a whole.
Experience, learn, adapt, do it again. You know what I mean? Like, just experience shit and do your best. You know? Be kind and do your best. You know, shit.
I love it.
Full circle.
Yeah, I love that.
That's awesome.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think we end it there with be kind and do your best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, thank you so much, brother.
God, thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
thank
for real.
You.
This is supposed to be a 3-person podcast from now on. You didn't know that. You're just,
you're on it. Right. You're ready.
Listen, don't tempt me with a good time. Okay? For real, I had a blast. You guys are awesome. I hope I'm your biggest fan right now, but I hope I'm not for long.
You might be our only fan.
Our biggest fan.
I think you listened 46 times. It was just you.
Well, I actually did do the thing where I was like, I missed something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to rewind that because you're funny. You guys are funny, dude. Like, thanks. I just love the little, you know, it's not a shtick, but I feel like if writers could write your little personalities, they would, like, write you guys together. You know what I mean? Like, as someone who, like, really appreciates comedy, I think what you guys got going is awesome, and I appreciate you guys so much.
Well, awesome.
Well, thanks for spending the time. And
Sarah, we appreciate you.
Producer over there.